Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Belle Starr.
And the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona,
and the world at large. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call live at 646-915-8421. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on all social media, or email thctucson@gmail.com.
We would like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio C, along with our many sponsors, for hosting our show every week. With the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things related to medical cannabis education.
Visit Tumbleweeds Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
Good morning, Cannabis Kid.
Good morning, Bill Star.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
I'm swell.
All right.
We're having a Phil Dunphy from Modern Family moment. The fire alarm or the carbon monoxide alarm is going off.
And it's the battery's dead. So it's
you know, you're like, which one is it? So our tech gal is...
True that.
She's over there.
She's on.
Undoing it. Our safety. I think that's great. She's just going to undo the safety for a little bit.
Yeah, for an hour.
Just for a little bit.
Just for an hour.
Just for an hour. Well, or more, the show could go on. We've got a couple of incredible guests on this morning. We're double dosing our guests here. Welcome. It's Weed Day Wednesday, April 13th, 2016.
We're a week away from 420. Oh,
we are. And we're hoping to have a special guest at 420 as well. But today we have on our show Desert Valley Testing and Chris Chapman from the 420 Social Club will be reporting on 420 events and how you can participate in passing marijuana the right way in our next voting election.
Well said.
Thank you very much.
The right way.
Yeah.
Like there's a long way of doing it.
Oh, well.
If you're passing the laws wrongly.
Yeah, you can pass wrongly laws. Right?
Wrongly laws.
Where's the gun?
I don't know. It sounds like an old western.
I know. I've been watching a lot of them shoot 'em ups. You know, the Hatfields and McCoys. Mm-hmm. Gall dang. You know, that kind
with
of stuff.
With the really sad music.
Oh, yeah. The fiddle that plays the same song for 2 hours.
God.
I know. It's amazing.
I've been living through that over and over again at our house.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. My father-in-law just moved in with us. So.
Well, maybe we
old
should...
Old westerns, 24/7.
I should come and hang out. And
you
guys,
should.
I could babysit.
He does. It's called Encore Western Channel.
Do I have to pay for TV now? No, I have Grit TV. That's all right.
I think you'll be
free.
Fine.
I got mine for free.
You got Grit?
I done stole it.
What's Grit?
It's Grit TV, GRIT. Westerns all day long for free.
I have to get Dad
on
that.
His is probably a little better, but... anyway, welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, everybody.
We're back talking about cannabis and testing.
It's a magical show. We have some incredible people already on the line here. We're going to jump right in, and we're going to talk about testing your medicine. It's extremely, extremely, extremely important. In fact, there have been companies around our country so far that have had to pull medicine off their shelves because
pesticides,
chemicals, herbicides, mold, bugs, things like that, leftovers from bugs,
mm-hmm.
You know, we don't, you know, and who knows what else? I mean, we've heard some strange stories, so.
I almost think it's all,
what?
Well, if everyone's getting their medications tested, it sure does.
It's not like you go to the, you know, the pharmacy and you go to get some Tylenol and you don't really know if it's Tylenol.
Right.
You know, I mean, we need standards.
Right.
We have standards.
And setting them this high,
yeah.
I think, is exactly what we want for our medication.
Yeah, it's a good thing. We need to set some serious standards here, folks. That's right. All right, so let's set some standards and get on the line. We've got Aaron with Desert Valley Testing. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday. Thank you for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me on.
Oh, you're very welcome. We've been meaning to for a long time, and I was the lucky recipient of one of your certificates. I won, actually, when we went to the cannabis conference. I actually put my name down for something because Cannabis Kid was running all around, putting his name in drawings, and I thought, well, heck, I'm going to do it. So you'll be getting some samples coming soon your way. But how are you doing today? Tell us about what's going on up north there from us.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that last part. I'm sorry.
Tell us what's going on up in Phoenix up there.
Well, I obviously am with Desert Valley Testing. We are a cannabis testing facility, and we are definitely staying super busy for 420 coming up, which is very, very exciting since right now Arizona doesn't really have any set regulations as to what our dispensaries or cultivation sites are even testing for. So right now it's just the really great people that are testing their own medications, even caregivers that we're testing for, and keeping people safe that way. So it really is about the patient care and not so much what the state has actually mandated yet, which is actually fantastic to see such high numbers of people that are testing without those standards or without having to be pushed to do it. So it definitely is great there. We definitely are testing for a lot of different things, the good and the bad. So we see some pretty gnarly stuff come through, and thankfully we are able to catch it and help people kind of turn that around. So that's what we're doing.
Excellent. Yeah, I bet you do have your hands full there. You are super busy.
Now, how did you guys get started with, is it a family business or a bunch of friends that have gotten together? Because I know this is how we're seeing it. It's groups of people who were interested and had the backgrounds in, you know, I had some friends that were testing with the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, making sure that quality of testing of the fruits and vegetables that are coming into our states were good for eating, and they were doing that before, and now they're testing on cannabis. So how did you guys get started in it, and who all works with you guys?
So Desert Valley Testing was actually started about a year and a half ago by the owner, Tabitha. She actually is a patient herself and has a rare eye disease called ICE syndrome. What it does is it actually has a lot of pressure, and it basically makes you go blind in one eye. It's something that you develop later on in life, and it's very uncommon, so they don't really know exactly how to treat it and perfect it. So after six surgeries and umpteen prescriptions, her doctor actually finally told her that a cannabinoid would help her with and alleviate some of the pain that and suffering that she was feeling. And so she was looking for the CBG cannabinoid. Come to find out, when she went into dispensaries, they were only testing for about three cannabinoids at the time, THC, CBD, and CBN. So that wasn't exactly what she was looking for, so she wasn't able to find it. Thankfully, Tabitha is actually an organic volatile chemist, so she has all of the necessary tools to actually take that and apply it to the cannabis industry. So since she didn't have any answers available to her, she decided that she was going to open it up and start testing herself. When she started doing that, she actually found out that the dispensaries and other people were interested in finding out more of what was in cannabis than what they were actually currently testing for. So then DBT started. She was able to actually bring in a lovely group of ladies that she's been working with for, you know, close to 10, 15 years at another laboratory, and they were all on board to help the cause and bring their knowledge into this industry. So that's where DVT kind of opened up and got its roots.
Wow.
That's awesome. Do you have people from all over the state requesting testing from you?
We do. We help everybody that we can. We also help some pediatric patients that we have gotten in contact with. We'll do some testing for their parents so they know exactly what they're actually dosing, especially if they're, you know, making or getting their oils from a caregiver or a different place where they aren't provided with the test results. So we're helping them out as well. So really all end users of cannabis are welcome to come and test.
And what types of machines are you using?
So we use an HPLC, which is a high-performance liquid chromatography machine. And what that means, it's all fancy words. So there are a couple different instrumentations that you can use to analyze the potency levels of the cannabis. And it doesn't matter what matrix it is, so if it's a flower, if it's a concentrate, if it's an oil, we can test all of the potency on this one standard equipment. What that does is it uses liquid to kind of push and analyze the cannabis that way. The other option is a GC, which is a gas chromatography. When you use a gas, it actually is heating up the sample and it's taking away those inactive cannabinoids. So you're not actually getting a full reading on what the state of the plant is as it is. So we are able to show THC, THCA. So basically we're looking for about 8 cannabinoids that we're able to look through instead of just the 4 or 5 that you're able to pull off of a different equipment. So we're using the HPLC to do that. We also use a headspace, which is another little fancy term, which is analyzing for all of those residual solvents or the chemicals that are left over in any of the medicine. So we're using a couple different instrumentations for each test. So it depends on the testing that you're doing. We have an entire lab set up in the Central Phoenix area. So we are always welcome to have people come in and tour and see it for themselves so they can get a better idea of the process.
Oh, we'd love to do that.
Yeah, that would be great.
We'll all be taking a field trip.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Please, come on down.
That would be great. What kind of chemicals and residuals? Tell us what you're finding. Tell us the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's hear it. Tell us about your...
There's obviously a lot of different things that you can see, but what we're looking for is things that are going to be harmful, hexane, high levels of ethanol, acetone that can be left over. And all of these things can be created from the smallest of little procedures. So it could be even a chemical reaction from a stainless steel drum that they wipe down with Windex. And then it creates acetone, which can be a residual in it. So it's not necessarily, the bad that's coming from the dispensaries or the bad that's coming from the plant. It's the things that we don't know that we're finding out how to better it, how to, not have that trace in there, how to take that away. And that's what we're really seeing is the companies that we're working with, they're using the testing to better and to move forward and to change their process to make sure it is a healthier and a better alternative for some of these people that, have tons of prescription medications going on and they're just sick and tired of it,
Well, yeah, and we also heard tale of, when you use certain chemicals or pesticides or whatever you're using, even if it's natural, sometimes when you heat it up, it turns into something that you really shouldn't be having in your body.
That's something that we're still finding out what those things are. Unfortunately, it kind of is a trial and error thing, and thankfully we have a great group of people in Arizona that are pushing for those mandates and that are looking to find what is bad about this so we can make it good, so there's no hesitations as to the legalization of it.
Right. Because I don't know that there's been that, that much research into, the growth of just one particular plant, because everybody uses different nutrients and solvents and additives and whatever they're using in their grow, and who knows what it does. It's like mixing 2 pills together. People don't know what that does really, until it gets in your system and causes havoc. But yeah, it's something that's really important. I mean, are you guys going to be able to get to the point where you should say you shouldn't add this to your soil or this to your hydro setup, or
eventually I'm sure we are going to get to a point that says arsenic is bad for you, so there's always that growing that I think we're going to have. We're already learning a ton of different things that maybe are not the best process that we've been able to kind of pull away. It's just kind of, like I said, trial and error, and unfortunately, it's just time and all of the science minds that we need to get together on this. And we are definitely part of a larger organization called the ACCL, which is a huge organization out of California for cannabis testing laboratories. So we can get a ton of different labs, a ton of different chemists and scientists in the same setting, and we can talk and kind of build upon each other's, you know, experiences, ideas, and theories, and pull from that and be able to hopefully get some answers a lot faster.
Well, yeah, and grow together, too, because, you know, like you said, you're testing for the 8 cannabinoids, and I'm sure pretty soon you'll be testing for more than that. But it already, if you go to desertvalleytesting.com and you take a look at their services and pricing, but you offer DNA profiling, plant gender determination, residual solvents, terpenes, cannabinoids. Tell us about some of those things, like the DNA profiling. Tell us about that.
So the DNA profiling is something that they can take a strain, and it does take a little bit. That's something new, and that is actually a service that we offer through a company called Marigene. And they are also, there are local Arizona representatives that actually do that. But Marigene is able to identify the specific strain. So if you had a flower or you got something that you weren't sure, or if the plant manipulated a way that you had no idea why it did that, and it doesn't look like, you know, Purple Kush or Blue Dream that you have growing, they're able to take that and actually figure out exactly how the plant manipulated itself and what type of strain it became, so that it's able to give a profile that way. We also do the gender determination, which helps for the early stages of growing. So basically, within the first couple of weeks, we're able to take those premature leaves and we send that in, and they are able to determine if it is a male or a female plant. And we know if you put male and females together, it tends to have some more seedy options. You know, there's definitely some effects that it has on the plant. So knowing if it is a female or a male is going to give you, you know, additional information as well as better medication coming from your yield. So that's another service that we offer. There is also heavy metals that we can determine. We look for a standard 4 whenever they are sent in, but there is an entire list of about 18 elements that we can look for, as well as some salts and minerals. So we're looking for lead, cadmium, mercury, arsenic. Those are going to be the big ones that we're looking for in the flowers or in the concentrates that we're seeing, just to make sure that those harmful ones that we know as of right now are not present.
And is that stuff coming from the chemicals that people are using to grow their plants with? Is that a fertilizer? What is that? Where are those things coming from? The water? Like, what's happening?
It could be a lot of different things. Again, it could be – I'm sorry?
I said, who's putting arsenic in our cannabis?
Right. No.
Who's doing that?
A reaction – well, I hope nobody. Yep. A lot of times when you find it, it's going to be very, very small amounts. And that goes back to, you know, one thing and another thing mixing and then creating something completely different. So a lot of times it could be, you know, just a mineral that's in the soil. And when they add their nutrient to it, it then becomes something that they weren't expecting it to be. And so I think a lot of times it's more that, or just the natural occurrence of some of these things. Like in cannabis, there is a natural amount of acetone that is just occurring in the plant. It's nothing that nobody is putting in there. It just is naturally in the plant, and that's, you know, us determining what the levels are that is okay for us. So, you know, the naturally occurring side, that's not really something that's going to be harmful. Now, whenever we get to those upper levels of the parts per million that we're looking for, that's when it's more of a concern and something that you need to reevaluate your process and see where you're adding in something, you know, that could be potentially harmful.
And are you finding that?
A lot of times, no. Thankfully, we have seen mostly clean cannabis coming through our lab. There are some things that are not put on shelves, that are not out for, you know, consumption or the consumer yet, and are more in a research and development phase. You know, if they're trying to come up with a new medible, or if they're trying to come up with, you know, something that is a little different, they're adjusting the formula on their tincture. That's where we'll see things that are kind of funky. But usually, beforehand, the client will say, all right, this one, we were trying a new process, and so if it comes out funky, we're kind of expecting that. So a lot of times that's what we're kind of seeing if we get a weird sample in that doesn't quite look the way it should.
Right.
Mm. I think it's incredible what you guys are doing.
Well, and it's necessary, I think. You know, I mean, that's when we, you know, talk to people and they say, where do you go? We say we go where people are testing their medicine so we know that it's safe and we know what we're getting because, you know, we're done with the days of the street meds, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and honestly, I'm kind of scared to think about what I had available at a young age.
I know.
compared to what I have right now, I'm just completely baffled. It is absolutely fantastic. And honestly, anywhere you go that is testing should be able to show you those test results. And there's no harm and there's nothing wrong with asking to see those test results. You should know your medicine. You should trust
absolutely.
Your medicine and you should trust the people that you're getting it from.
Absolutely.
So true.
Yeah, and hopefully the people you're getting it from are educated. That's, you know, that's our big beef with a lot of the places.
Absolutely.
People go to. Yeah. Now, can we talk terpenes for a little bit? We love terpenes. Just talk to us. We love our pinenes and, you know, all those good things. Tell us, what in a profile are you actually giving somebody? Because a lot of people don't really understand how terpenes affect our medicine, our cannabis. Talk to us.
Nervous system, our whole body.
Everything, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there is definitely a lot of education out there. There are, so right now we are running for about 8 different terpenes that we normally see in, you know, the flower, and it's all different levels. And we do actually see people that are adding terpenes into it because of the medicinal properties that they see. A lot of times in the growth of the plant, they are losing out on the terpenes within that curing process when it's drying out. So when you actually have a fresh flower, that's when your terpenes and that aroma is going to be the most potent and powerful. And so we're definitely still trying to figure out how to target all of those terpenes, but there is a ton of education on terpenes, and each one definitely has different properties to it that can help. So it kind of depending on your ailment would be a different thing that you would look for, and that would be somebody, you know, like your bud tender or your doctor that would really recommend a specific strain that would help with what you have. So I don't know if I'm really qualified to talk about, like, what you should look for in your terpenes. I can tell you what terpenes can help with. So I don't know if that's the answer you're looking for.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. We just love terpenes.
But what people are going to and understanding what the profiling of the strains are, because this is actually part of the profile. If you didn't have the terpenes, it would change the way the THC and the CBDs would work in the system. So, yes, go on. Tell us a little bit about that.
Depending on what it is, there are going to definitely be specific strains that will help you with certain things. And like I said, there is the education out there on terpenes as well as cannabinoids, and we actually have some on our website. If you are online looking at that, you can pull it up so you can see exactly what I'm talking about. So there are different things like the linalool. That's going to mediate stress. It counters your anxiety. You know, it's an antidepressant. So if you're actually having some of those symptoms, that might be a terpene that you're kind of looking for. It's going to amplify the serotonin receptors and the transmission in your body. So that's definitely something that can help you on different levels there. Let's talk like cumulene. So that's going to be more of a relief of pain and slowing of bacterial growth in your system. So depending again on the ailment that you have or the specific thing that you're trying to treat, that may be another option. You know, and each one of these things have a different aroma to it as well. And I know that there are some people that, you know, they're looking more into the aromatherapy properties of the cannabis and having that scent an additional, you know, an additional thing to help you out.
Right. Because if you look at the page, the education page, and you click on the terpenes, Are these the ones that you're looking for specifically? This is your list?
These are the ones that we're looking for specifically. We do actually run quite a few other ones, but we don't really see those come out in the cannabis most often.
What's the most common one?
The most common one, I would say, is probably going to be that's kind of hard to say. It would probably be between two. It would be more of like the limonene and the linalool.
Yeah. Now, do you think it's more as testing comes out? I mean, definitely, we're at a point where we're just the tip of the iceberg of what we're finding, and how these plants have been growing for such a long time, and how we've, you know, geared them all towards mostly a THC effect. And now we're finding out that the CBDs are being so important, and that we're finding out that all of them are very important.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to start seeing, mm-hmm. I mean, do we start seeing people who are, like you said, you have the head lady of Desert Valley.
Tabitha.
Mm-hmm. Tabitha was looking for this specific strain that was just for her ocular
Yeah,
problem.
She was looking for CBG, which is a very, very beginning stage of the plant. And that is something that we still have not found, a strain that is high in CBG. Because when the plant is actually growing, it's manipulating. And each one of these compounds turns into something else. So basically, to get something that is high in CBG, there would have to be somebody that can figure out how to stop the manipulation process in the plant while continuing to have it grow. I'm sure that they are going to figure that out. I mean, we're already seeing higher CBD strains than ever before because, you know, they're figuring out how to manipulate that into the, you know, highest compound of the strain instead of the THC, because we were seeing that, and you are absolutely correct. We were, you know, trying to pull up that number, but now that we're actually viewing it as more of a medicine instead of a drug, then we're looking for these other possibilities that maybe were lost in the whole, you know, process over all of these years, over all this time. So absolutely, I think that we will definitely start seeing strains down the road that, you know, we'll start highlighting maybe some of those other properties that can be definitely beneficial. Because I can't even tell you how many times I've spoken to somebody that says, I don't want to get high. I just want to have some pain relief. I just want to have, you know, I just need my stress to go down. I need, you know, all of these other things that they're not looking for, that head change. They're not looking for that. So we're definitely seeing more and more of that. So absolutely, I think this, I already know and I have seen the CBD strains coming up. If you ever hear of a CBG strain, please let us know, because Tabitha, like I said, she's been looking for one for years and still has yet to find it. And as of right now, we don't know if it's out there. So,
wow, that's incredible.
So you're saying that as the plant's growing, it's, you know, its own cells are changing and manipulating themselves. Can you harvest the plant, even though it may not be, quote, done, quote, can you harvest it at the time when the CBG is the highest, so that you can just juice it raw and take it that way?
You know, that might be an option. I'm that's not really my forte, so that would probably be a question that somebody else can answer, but I would assume that you would be able to. I mean, obviously at that point you wouldn't be able to get the flower, but if you actually did grind it and were able to, you know, emulsify it that way and kind of pull that out, you might potentially be able to do that, and that might be something that we're able to pull those out, maybe in tincture forms or you know, something like that. Absolutely. That's a great idea. Copyright that.
There you go. TM. So just a couple quick questions. Tell us, just for fun, what's your highest THC, CBD, CBN? Tell us some extreme levels you found.
So the highest ones that we see, and I mean, this is always hard because it does vary. They're always nicer in the winter. I will say that we always see those peaks kind of come up in the winter, and they'll drop down a little bit more in the summer. But the highest level of THC that we have tested for was it was like a 29 point something something percent. So it was almost a 30%. And that's just in the time that I've been there. So I can't say that they didn't test something that was higher before I came on board, because I have only been with them since last July. But that was the highest of THC that we've seen. I did see an 18% CBD, but again, that was kind of something that we didn't really see again. CBD is still one of those that we generally see it more at that 11 to even 15% is a higher range for it.
Yeah, there you go. That's nice. That's the painkiller for you right there.
Yeah.
Nice. That's what people are looking for that. Like you said, they don't want the high quote. They just want some pain relief, which is, you know, who doesn't want pain relief these days, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think with the, you know, the more research and the more testing, we're going to find out that more of these different cannabinoids are going to do so many different things to the body as they're reached these percentages of 14, 15, and, you know, maybe someday the right nutrition, all that kinds of stuff for the plants, we get to a point where we're harvesting, you know, CBGs and all these ones that are raising them for those specific diseases.
Yeah, you'll be able to walk in and say, hey, I've got RA, and they'll go, oh, here's your strength.
Here's your edible. Here's everything
whatever
that
you need
to take.
This is your RA
form,
package.
Right?
You know? Or whatever it is. I've got Chrome.
It's just so
or,
exciting.
You know,
I just think
it's really, really
I always
exciting.
Get excited because I'm knocking out Big Pharma.
Well, I get excited because people are happy and they're healing.
Right.
You know?
It's true. Instead of just,
and we're knocking out Big Pharma. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when you hear these success stories, you know, like I said, we do work with some pediatric patients. And, you know, there's a young man that we work with, and he is 9 years old and has had seizures every 5 to 7 days since he was 6 months old. And thankfully he has a fantastic father who, you know, took that jump and kept trying and found that RSO or the Rick Simpson oil was able to help him. And they fine-tuned the dose and they fine-tuned it. And now he has been seizure-free for over a year. Last November hit a year seizure-free for this gentleman. And it's amazing. I mean, the relief in his father's eyes, just knowing that he doesn't have to sit there and lie awake at night wondering, is tonight the night? You know, are we going to have to rush to a hospital? Am I going to lose him? You know, and that type of success story, I wish everybody knew about, because then they wouldn't be fighting to keep it away. They wouldn't.
Right. It's so true.
Well, I don't think it'll be long before they just can't. It's just going to be there. It should just be a choice for whoever wants it or needs it. It should be a choice. And for however you'd like to use it, it's up to you. You know, be safe with everything you use. You know, be safe and make sure it's tested.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give us a quick shout out to how everyone can find you and how they can get their meds tested. And we're not just talking about dispensaries, people. If you have rights to grow, you should get your meds tested too and find out what you got going on in your little garden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, patients, caregivers, like I said, all end users of the cannabis product. If you have any sort of Arizona medical marijuana card, we can help you out. If you go to desertvalleytesting.com, you can contact us on there, or you can also email us at info@desertvalleytesting.com, and we'll be more than happy to answer any questions that you have.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being on. It was a pleasure and an honor.
Thank you so much. You guys are doing awesome work. And
yeah, keep us posted about what's happening and what new things are being tested and what you're finding. Love to know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I can't wait for you guys to come down, or come up, I should say, and tour.
Yes.
Tour the lab and give us a shout out there.
That would be great.
Oh, absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you guys
so
much.
Have a great day.
Take good care. Mm-hmm.
Bye.
All right, Desert Valley Testing, everybody. That was awesome. Erin, thank you so much. That was really amazing, and it's so important to do what they're doing. just everybody, like she said, caregivers, patients, gardeners, dispensary owners, anybody out there in the world, go get your medicine tested. We want to find out what's in it, if there's any aliens.
Well, even better than yet, finding out what's working for you in that medicine and why is it making it work for you so
and
well.
And even better yet, if you're a patient and you go out to a dispensary or someone that you know gives you something and it works really well, don't smoke the rest. Get it tested and let them tell you what it is and what's in it so that you can find it later maybe, right? I mean, that's a good idea. And also, yeah, we should be, you know, harvesting our plants at, you know, peak seasons and stuff so that we can get the most bang from our bucks, right?
Sure can.
What should we do here? Should we do this? We should do it.
We should have it.
While we're waiting for our 420 report.
It's a good song.
It's appropriate for 420
report.
It is
perfect for 420.
My house, like, what up? I got some good pot. I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop. Ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty. My friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey. Rolling in hella high, looking like it's FIFA time. Dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries. Draped in a snuggie with my girl sitting next to me. Probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of ice tea. But shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking it. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cottonmouth has been creeping up. But can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa, can I take a 65? Deville cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's. And then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome.
What you know about the science of marijuana? What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, they need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy, Richard Nixon is the president who made the plant illegal. But science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons. I'll take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers. And bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealth? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interest. I call that getting swindled and pimped shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peak game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs. It's time to pull the plug. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm gonna smoke some weed.
Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
All right,
we're
back to Weed Day Wednesday. I don't know why that was funny, but I just had to throw a laugh track on there. What do you want to say?
I was just saying that the ladies at Desert Valley Testing, what you guys are doing is really awesome. I think the whole profiling and just really helping people connect with what's going on with their ailment, with going on with their needing of their medicine, and teaming that up together. I know a lot of people are doing it, but it just seems like the right way to go with this. And, you know, with the way that testing is going, these things that are on the forefront of what the government is actually going to start wanting to know.
Yes.
You know, I mean, as they're putting their program together, they're going to come to Desert Valley Testing and other testing facilities and be gathering this information. So being on the forefront of new testing, new ways of testing, it blows my mind.
It is, because we just came up with a couple good ideas while we were just talking. I mean, and it only took 30 minutes of chatting to come up with a couple new ideas that they've been doing this for a couple of years and hadn't heard of. I mean, it's not that hard. What we need to do is communicate and educate and participate.
I think we're on the forefront of, I mean, like I said, we're on the tip of the iceberg, and I was talking about earlier.
Don't let it melt.
You know, of where this plant is going, you know. I mean, we're just talking about one plant that has, we already know of so many different ways of use. But the ways of use in the medical field is going to
explode.
It just drastically
change the way
that we look at medicine.
Yeah.
But in a way that we used to look at medicine about years ago.
Right.
You know, our original Western medicine, this is how Western medicine, aromatherapy, we were talking about terpenes. These are way the chemicals change away in your brain. It's the natural nature's use of pharmacy.
So, and you're going to wonder why I'm going to segment into this, but we love antique shopping. And somebody
bought a
vaporizer from what year? 1906. It's a 1906 vaporizer. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's brass, right? It's brass, and it looks like a tiny little lantern. And it's just like a vaporizer would be today. I mean, the concept is all there. So it's got a beautiful beautiful porcelain little dish that you put your water in. And then they really heavily used this bowl of medicine. You put the medicine on top of the bowl. You heat up there's a flame underneath the lamp that was supposed to be there. You heat up the water, which in turn heats up the medicine. And then the vapor comes out, and you just stand there like the good kid does and take your vaporizers. But boy, this one was heavily used, and we're going to find the replacement for that inside container there. It's absolutely gorgeous. The way they made things back then, this is 110 years old, and it's beautiful. It looks like a display piece, which probably will be, but we should get a new tray and a new little thing, and we could try it out.
Tumbleweed Museum coming soon.
That's right. Hey, I like it. Hey, coming very soon. Yep. Let's do it. That's what we can do. Totally. We're having mind thoughts over here, you guys. We're really sorry you can't hear them. And we're also really sorry our chat session's not up. So, Netherlands, everybody, if you're here, if you're there, if you're anywhere.
Call in.
Space King, Space Queen. Yeah, just call in.
Don't you get...
Thank you, Colin.
Free.
I keep trying to launch this thing. It's
free.
Like, launch it. And then it goes and it says, boo, we're trying error. Oops. Their engineers are working on it. So at least we have the show at any rate. We're supposed to have a 420 report, and we're trying to figure out what's going on with that. I don't think that the person on the line is actually the person that is supposed to be calling in.
I feel like waiting for a guy in a helicopter to call in.
It's like I'm waiting for James Bond to drop down with a gun in a suit. He's like, hey, all right. So, squirrel. Have you guys checked out Dope magazine? Have you seen who's on the cover? It's a really pretty cover.
There are a lot of great magazines coming out, you know,
there
now
are.
That cannabis is being more widely
accepted.
used and accepted. We're definitely seeing the media pick up on what's going on in the cannabis world in all different fields. I always tell people, I said, if you are interested in cannabis, and whatever you're doing now, I bet you can find a way to transfer that into the cannabis world.
Oh, And it doesn't matter what it is.
Hair comb. They need doctors. They need lawyers. They need engineers. They need
everybody.
Planters, farmers, growers. People in the pharmaceutical world, if you want to come
banjos.
And work.
They need banjo players. I'm not even kidding. We're not even kidding. I just came up with a whole other idea. It's fantastic. TM. Just kidding on the band.
So
no,
much
seriously.
Going on. I'm just
Adrian
saying,
it's
the
it
tip
out.
Of the
now
iceberg. We were at the cannabis conference last October, and a good friend of ours, Cheryl Schumann, goes, we're in the basement. We're not even on bottom floor, like, you know, a lot
yeah,
of
you
companies.
Yeah, you think you're just starting this. She's
this
like, no, you're on the basement
this
now.
This is just so in the basement. This is just a whole bunch of friends getting together.
Whatever,
and I was like,
well,
it's so true when we were there.
The idea is, whatever you have that you can think about.
Bring it.
Bring it home.
Bring it.
Yeah.
The world needs it.
Yes, it does. The world does need it. So, anywho. Flipping through these great new magazines, Cannabis Mrs. Times. You can come down to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard.
We're in the back.
Suite 103.
I call it the cave. Just go through the hidden cave, and there you are.
Oh, check it out. I love it. Organic cannabis, practicing what you preach.
Ooh.
What best describes your operations, cannabis growing practices? 40% organic soil, 21% in conventional. 14 organic hydroponics, 13 conventional hydroponics, 7% other, and 6% no answer. That's kind of strange.
Hitting the nail on the head right there about
that. Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay. So here's a good energy spending question. Green rush, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
So people often, really, really, really often talk about the fact that indoor grows costs a lot in energy and electricity, and I think we're trying to all bring that down. We're getting into LEDs and all sorts of other lighting systems. And
growing outside.
Lighting systems. Trust me, I won't play that song. So, energy spending. How much did your operation spend on energy costs in 2015 for its cannabis business?
Wow.
Here's a good one. And this is based on those who responded and whose cannabis businesses were in operation for the full year of 2015. It doesn't say how many businesses, but here we go. How much did your operation spend on energy costs in 2015 for the cannabis business? 1% spent $1 million or more. Set that top 1% again. You guys, come on. All right. And then another 1% spent between $500,000 and almost $1 million. 3% spent $300,000 to $500,000. 10% spent $150,000 to $300,000 on their grow operation. 10% of people spent $75,000 to $150,000. And 32% spent less than $25,000 on their operation to own a cannabis business. And 8% just didn't answer. All right, well, that's a good margin of error. So there you have it. And what were your operations revenue from its cannabis business in its most recently completed fiscal year? 6% said they made over $5 million. 10% said they made between $2 million and $4.9 million. 8% made between $1 and $1.9 million. 5% made between $500,000 and $999,000. 9% made between $250,000 and $499,000. 17% made $100,000 to $250,000. And 30% made less than $100,000. And 16% didn't answer. Because they didn't come.
Wow.
so, yeah, you know, we got to be careful with our green rushes and goings on. And
being a little more ego-conscious.
Yeah, and then on the next page, it's all about energy-efficient grows and optimizing costs and, you know. Yeah, you got to deal with lighting. And this
I
is,
like that. That's,
yeah,
they're using an outdoor.
Natural light. And then when they need their extra light, they just flip the switch on. So that's pretty nice. Greenhouses are nice, but there's just always going to be a little something tricky to get around, probably.
There's so many empty warehouses around this country that, you know, would be able to be used for these conversions of these large amounts of cannabis that need to be grown in this country.
Yes, absolutely.
We need to get people feeling healthy again.
Okay. Well, let's see if we've got our caller on the line here now. Hang on a minute. We might have our 420 report. We do not. So call in 646-915-8421. Press number one. We'll get you on air for the report. And, oh, maybe that is you. Well, we're going to try it. We're going to throw you on air and just see if this is you. I think it is, and we apologize. Welcome
good
to
morning.
Wednesday.
Hi, am I on the air?
Hey, how's it going?
It's Chris from the 420 Social Club. I had some trouble figuring out which number to call in.
You're here now.
And that's the important part.
And we're not quick.
That's what matters.
That's what matters most.
How are you guys doing this morning?
Awesome. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Tell us what's going on. Tell us. Just tell us everything.
Well, that's a lot to tell. So, so at the 420 Social Club, we're organizing a huge event for next Wednesday, and right now it looks like we have most of the volunteer organizations in Maricopa County and Pima County that'll be down at our place, which is pretty exciting. So we have beginning at 3 p.m. We're going to start by doing a march, and we'll be heading up to Main Gate Square to protest their zero tolerance policy for cannabis, even for cannabis education or even discussing it. And then we'll head back at 4:20. We'll be back at our place at 643 North 4th Avenue. And then we'll begin another leg of the march for people who can't march that long or can't be there that early. And then we'll be marching down 4th Avenue and probably connect with some of the merchants on the way there. And some people will continue through the tunnel and probably march down to the federal building to protest themselves. But most of us will head back, and about 5 p.m. we'll begin the party at our place. So we have a large stage in the back. We have so far, it looks like about 10 musical acts, and it's growing every day. Lethal Injection, I think, is probably the headliner right there. They'll bring in a lot of people. But we have blues folk singers, we have an alt rock, we have a punk band, we have two hip hop artists, and then we'll have two or three DJs that are going to take over later in the evening. We have a comedian coming down from Phoenix who's going to MC, Bill Lukowski, and he will be bringing at least 10 awesome comedians with him who will be doing comedy bits in between. So we'll have two of them doing 10-minute comedy bits in between musical acts, on stage. We have fire spinners coming out. We have, we have a clown with balloons and a whole bunch of other little things sprinkled in. We also have the Cannabus from Phoenix. Hello? Sorry, I couldn't hear that.
No, you're right. What's the Cannabus do?
So the Cannabus, if you imagine a big school bus painted up brightly with colors and everything, the Cannabus comes, and it's a bus that comes full of people, and they're actually going to be staying at our property on 4th Avenue a lot of that week, because the Pima County Fair is from this Friday all the way through the end of the next weekend. So we have a ton of volunteers coming down from Phoenix to hit the fair hard and get signatures for the AZFMR ballot initiative. They have to come down. And, of course, what I've realized, at least, is that in southern Arizona, there really aren't or there haven't been traditionally a lot of, volunteer groups, or at least people that volunteer. There are a couple specific people I know, and then it's been a lot of people coming down from Phoenix. And they have to come down, and they have to pay for motels. So we decided we're going to open the house up to them and let them stay there. The Cannabus will be there anyway. And we're going to actually open up a huge circus tent on the side of the yard and create like a little camp out. So we'll have the inside where people can be. We'll have the outside there. Probably bring out the telescope, maybe have a star party if the seeing is nice. And so we went to the Phoenix Cannabis Coalition meeting last Wednesday and just invited everybody down. Said, you know, anybody who's going to come down, who wants to come down and help with the county fair effort, come stay at our place and we'll have fun. So that'll be happening all week anyway. We have Safer is going to be down, of course, and they'll have a booth at the Pima County Fair the entire week. So all the Safer AZFMR people will be out there using our place as they need to. And then the Cannabus will be here to help shuttle them back and forth, shuttle volunteers back and forth, but also just to connect between all ton of different events that are kind of going on next week. So the nice thing about the Cannabus, too, is it draws a crowd. We have permission to go out to the Pima County Fair and get signatures in the parking lot, even though we'll be also inside the fair. And so we can take a busload full of people out there, and that the bus draws a crowd. People come up to it, get a bunch of signatures, and then when it dies down, head back and pick up another busload. So we'll be trying different things like that just to get signatures. The bus will also be out at the Hip Hop Unity Festival on Saturday with our club as well. And we'll also be at KFMA Day with Normal on that day. So this whole week's going to be a crazy list of things going on. And then Wednesday at our place should be huge.
Where are we with signatures? What's our number?
I haven't had it. Actually, last weekend over the street fair, we pulled in over 3,000, which was
wow.
Nice. All I know in terms of the total is that they're, you know, still above 110. I'm guessing now about 115. We're making our manager, Anthony, a notary, which I'm hoping will be completed in the next couple of days. Then we can get out there and pick up your signatures if someone else doesn't do it before then. And then after that, we're going to be putting displays up, hopefully in smoke shops and places all over town, and working with their employees to start, you know, collecting signatures. Since we'll be able to just drive around and then pick them up and notarize them on a weekly basis.
Okay.
So that should be happening soon. Huh?
I said, there you go. That's a great idea. You guys got to get out there and get as many as you can. We've got
the only way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And we have to have someone who can go around and pick them up, because we can get a lot of signatures if every smoke shop owner every employee, you know, can just fill up one or two sheets. But we can't count on them to go down and find someone to notarize them and record them, and so that just doesn't happen. So if we can do it mobile, we'll see if that works, and should be soon. One of the big attractions as well next Wednesday that brought a lot of people in last weekend is Live Glassblowing. So we should have, I think, we'll have about 5 live glassblowers so far. And that's something everybody likes to come and watch. And we'll be taking the Cannabus between our place and Chiba Hut, a few blocks away. Chiba Hut is a cannabis-themed restaurant, if anybody listening isn't familiar with it. And so last week at the street fair, you know, they came down and they brought their giant joint costume. It's, you know, 8-foot, 10-foot tall, whatever, giant joint with a smirk on its face. And so it was down at our club, photo opportunities, everyone loved it. We were out on the street with the signature gatherers for a little while. And then they said that they needed to head back to, you know, the restaurant to work. And he said, I'm going to have to walk all the way back through the crowds because I can't be in public without this costume. And I said, well, I actually have my wife's convertible here. So I said, I could drive you back with the top down. So we got to drive back through all these crowds. Of course, we put the music up and the joint was dancing and people loved it. It just drew crowds to the car by the dozens.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, exactly, especially during the street fair. So I learned that, you know, when we're going through crowds trying to get signatures, you have to talk to 10 people to get one to say hi, and especially if they're in groups of people. But when we do something like that, it draws people to us who are already supporters. And so, you know, we're filling out ballots by the dozens when that happens. So So we're going to do that as well. I feel like that's like putting a magnet in the dirt and drawing the iron out, because you can go to a crowd and then all the people who are on our side come to us, you know, come to the giant dancing joint or the cannabis, and then we can just get a ton of signatures. So we'll be using that during our march on that day as well. And then during the evening, we'll be taking loads of people on the cannabis back and forth to Chiba Hut. And then we'll go to Chiba Hut with the giant dancing joint, and we'll invite people to come back. We actually have had two giant joint costumes made for ourselves and one giant white lighter that should be ready this week, too. So we're trying to use all these little gimmicks, whatever works, and combine them together and see if we can get signatures. But also just to help at the party. It'll be a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
And we also have some fire spinners that just signed up. So fire spinners, spinning is always fun. And a lot of other little things that will go throughout the evening.
Now, the public can go to this, correct? The general public can participate, or does everybody have to be a patient?
Yes. No, this is open to patients and non-patients as well. Like everything we do at the club, most of us, we have spouses, significant others, or just friends, and you know, they don't use it at all. So if we have events, we mark people's hands showing whether or not you can partake. Also, we allow alcohol at the place if people bring their own. So, but the rule is 18 and over for everything at our location. So if someone's under 21, we'll mark their hand as well, so that so we know who can partake, who can drink, and who can't. And we'll have drink specials on 4th Avenue. Mr. Heads will be putting hemp ale on tap for us and offering, I think, $3 pints to ticket holders. And we're talking to a few other places. We were meeting with Normal and some others and just decided that we're not going to get a liquor license for this event, even though that's something that Normal actually does for a lot of other organizations, just because that's not what we're about. And we're on 4th Avenue. And we're not there to compete with the merchants, so we figured we'll let 4th Avenue handle that. So we'll have people going up and down the street, hopefully, you know, going to bars, coming back, and it's supposed to be an event that's open to everybody. There will be areas that are where people can medicate or smoke, and there will be some areas set apart where people will not. So if someone doesn't want to be around it, of course, then they don't have to be. But all the areas are open to anyone. And we have the backyard we're flattening out now and putting in an awesome stage. We have these giant 8-foot steel spools, I guess is what they're called, and we put them back there flat. We're building platforms on top. They look really cool. We just built out our back balcony with a nice awning and made it nice and sturdy, and so it should be a blast.
We're excited to be there.
That sounds like a blast, yeah. And tell everybody,
yeah.
Can't get on our little blog page here, but tell everybody how they can find you and find the list of events. You're going to be at KFMA Day, you're having a march, you've got everybody involved.
Yes.
And how late does the evening go? All that good stuff.
The best thing to do, especially if somebody would like to volunteer to help us with signatures, if anybody would like to come out with us to help Safer Arizona, AZFMR, Normal, or us out at the Pima County Fair for $15, they can buy a vendor pass, and that gets them into the fair for the entire week. Also gives them discounts on food and things like that. But for all of these different things, KFMA Day, we're also going to be with you guys at the Folk Festival, hopefully, and a few other things in between. Just follow us on Facebook. If you just go search for 420 Social Club, Tucson, and then, or it's just facebook.com/420socialclubpuc, and that's probably the best way. You can also follow us on Instagram. It's just at 420soc, and so all the events are up on the the Facebook event page, and people can get information there and updates. And the event for next Wednesday is also growing by the day, so we're constantly getting confirmations from other acts and people who are going to come. So we're putting those up there.
Sounds like an awesome event. You've got a lot going on. So everybody check that out. We would have posted it for you, but we apologize for the technical difficulties. All right. Thank you so much. I think we're going to have another report next week, too. And we'll follow up and let everybody know. We'll remind everybody once again where all these events are going to be. I'll get the full list privately, I'm sure, I hope. And we thank you so much for coming on and for sharing everything with us. And we look forward to the events. We'll see you in a week.
See you next Wednesday.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
Chris Chapman, 420 Social Club. All right, you heard it, folks. There is so much
going
on. Oh, my Lord. I'm just like, I'm so hungry. I'm thinking Chiba Hut sandwiches now. But
I haven't had a Chiba Hut sandwich in a really long time.
I don't think I've ever had one. So
they have a veggie one.
Okay.
It's really delicious.
Ketu veggie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, oh, my Lordy Lord. Here it is. It's time once again for the
just
end
say
of
goodbye.
The show. Oh, to all our family. Thank you, guys. Happy Weed Sale
Wednesday.
I hope
everyone got that.
Thank
that was a lot of information.
Desert Valley Testing. Thank you, Chris, from 420 Social Club. Thank you, Blog Talk Radio and Growers House and Tumbleweed Cell Center and Studio
Star,
Cannabis Kids, Tech Gal, Silver Sister, and come on down, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. Get certified, folks, and most importantly, come sign that petition, and if you're not registered to vote, you should get registered to vote.
Very important year.
Come on, vote for your cannabis. Do it.
Very,
do it
very
now.
Important. This could mean rights.
Oh, my Lord. Just do it. We're not going to go into this. We have seconds left. But thank you anyway. I know. It's always a pleasure to be here for you each and every week. Next week is 420, so we're going to have a really fun, goofy show with lots of reports of what's happening once again. Stay tuned. Remember, be smart,
be safe,
and
educate.
Woo!
We'll see you next week.
Happy Weed Day. Go out and do some good.
Plant a seed.
Plant a seed.